Turn with me to Psalm 145. 145. We're looking at a scripture tonight that we have looked at before in this study, but we only looked at half of it. So we're going to look at the last half tonight. This is our study, and it's called The Fear Factor. This is part 8, and this is the last one that we will do in this study. Next week, Lord willing, we'll start a new study. Psalm 145, look with me at verse 19. And the Bible says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Who? Those who fear Him. Those who fear Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank You. We thank You, God, that Thou art a merciful God. God, we look at what our nation has done. And God, Lord, we ask You to have mercy on us. God, have mercy on the blindness. Have mercy, God, Lord, on the ignorance. Have mercy, God, on a nation that, God, Lord, is inhabited by people who do love You and who do believe Thy Word. And God, I would pray tonight as Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. God, if You can find 10 righteous souls in this nation, will You spare it, God? Will You spare it? God, we thank You that You are a God of love and mercy and grace. We pray for Israel tonight. But God, Lord, we also pray, Father, Lord, for God, Thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I pray that Jesus will come soon. And God, that we can leave all of this behind. And God, be with our Lord and our Savior forever and ever. We ask Thy blessings tonight, God, upon this our study. God, You know I've enjoyed this study. I've learned a lot. But God, at the same time, Lord, tonight my heart, my mind is God on Israel and on America. So I pray, God, You'll help me to lay that aside for a while as God we look at this subject, so important. The fear of the Lord. God, You have Your way now. Glorify Thy Son. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. We have been looking at a very neglected Bible doctrine. In fact, it is so neglected that we have almost lost it. And when I say we, I mean the church. The church as a whole, we've almost lost it. And that is, beloved, the fear of the Lord. Here's the question. Should we, Christians, fear the Lord? Certainly, beloved, God tells us to fear Him. I mean, over and over and over again. But somehow, beloved, in these last days, men have rationalized that away. They have used all kinds of excuses for not fearing God. Some have said, oh, that's Old Testament. And we're under the New Covenant, the New Testament. We today don't have to fear God, they say. But beloved, they ignore the very words of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10. Now, Jesus is our Savior. Amen? Amen. Jesus, beloved, is the new covenant. Amen? Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who is that? God. Jesus tells us to fear God. They ignore what Mary said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 50. Luke 1 and verse 50. Mary, beloved, said this. It says, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." Add to that Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, where God says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Guess what? That's New Testament. Amen. That's New Testament. Let's look at some of these. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness." How? In the fear of God. In the fear of God. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Fear of who? Of God. Trembling. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Beloved, all the way from Matthew all the way through the New Testament, it tells us to fear God. This is all New Testament, folks. So much for that argument. Hey, that's Old Testament. No, sir. That's new. That's all the Bible, Old and New Testament. Others, beloved, have used grace to nullify the fear of God. Oh, we don't need to fear God. We're under grace. So was Noah, but he moved with fear. So was David, but beloved, he feared the Lord. You read his Psalms. So, beloved, was Joseph, but he feared the Lord. Beloved, God, listen, has always saved by grace, but that shouldn't stop us from fearing God. From fearing God. You see, we still reap what we sow. Amen? We still reap what we sow. God is still angry at sin. In my life or your life, God is still angry at sin. A person, beloved, who says, "I don't fear God because I'm saved by grace," is only looking at themselves. They better get their eyes on God. On God. Again, I say, and I've said it through this thing, grace is not a license to sin. Years ago, I'll never forget, there was a preacher in Tarboro, North Carolina, Southern Baptist preacher, nice guy. Great guy. Had a great personality. You couldn't help but like the man. I had been in the hospital up there in Tarver. I had met him. I liked him. Well, found out. His people found out that he was having an affair with a woman in the church. Well, when that was known, beloved, this guy, he broke down. And he apologized to the church and asked the church to forgive him. And they did. And he apologized to his wife and he asked his wife to forgive him. "Please forgive me." And she did. But it wasn't an hour later. His wife caught him talking to the woman on the phone, saying things that he ought not to be saying to another woman. And you know what he said when he was called again? He said, "It don't matter. I'm saved by grace." Beloved, he's blind. And I'm going to tell you something. He has no fear of God. He ruined his life. He ruined his marriage. He ruined his ministry. He ruined, beloved, that church to a degree. He hurt so many people. And he's paid the price for it. Grace didn't help him with that. Grace helped him, it maybe helped him as far as south, but it did not help him keep his family or keep his ministry. or keep anything else. Still others don't fear the Lord because of His long suffering. Folks, you may sin as a Christian and nothing happened. Not today, not next week, may not happen for a year, or 2 years, or 10 years. So you think you may sin again, and nothing happened. So you begin to think, well, God understands. He understands why I disobey Him. He understands why I don't do what God tells me to do. He understands why I forsake the assembling of myself together as the manner of some, even though He commands me not to. He understands. Listen to me. You be sure your sin will find you out. That's what God says. Your sin will find you out. Yes, God is long-suffering. He waits, beloved, when we sin, He waits for us to repent. To repent, to turn from it, and repent of it. But if you continue on, you will find out what the fear of the Lord is. Believe me. As sure as God is, you will find out. You know, God pronounced judgment on Jezebel. Beloved, God waited 20 years. 20 years before He let His wrath fall on her. She had 20 years to repent, but she didn't. And finally the day came, and just like God said, beloved, the dogs ate her flesh. Ate her flesh. God's in no hurry. But thank God for His long suffering that God allows us time to repent. But if we don't repent, beloved, I'm telling you, you will reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. Let me tell you, you ought to fear God. You ought to fear Him because, beloved, He commands it, first of all. You ought to fear Him because He is God. You ought to fear Him because He's righteous and holy and all-powerful. And because He holds you and everything you have in His hands. In His hands. Oh, but another reason to fear God are the benefits. And that's what we've been talking about lately. For example, we found out that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We found out, beloved, that the fear of God brings God's pleasure upon you. We found out, beloved, that those who fear the Lord enjoy the pity and mercy of God upon them. We found out that the fear of God makes you acceptable for salvation. We found out that if you fear God, you will have confidence, beloved. We found out that the fear of God will separate you from evil. We found out, beloved, that the fear of God will remove the fear of man from your heart if you fear God. If you fear God. Tonight I want us to look at two more benefits real quickly. Now these are not all the benefits. They're not. But I'm just giving you these many of them. Okay. The fear of the Lord, listen, will bring salvation to you. To you. Look at this verse again here in Psalm 145. Look at it again, the last part. Well, let's read though. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Beloved, when you cry out to God for salvation, God will save you if you fear Him. If you fear Him. Who will call on God to save them? Those who fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord. Now follow me close in this. Beloved, the Bible teaches us that there is no salvation apart from the Word of God. Whenever anybody gets saved, the Word of God is there. Amen? The Word of God. Now, we hear the Word, and the Holy Spirit uses the Word to convict us of our sin. We see ourselves as lost sinners before a holy and a righteous God, and the fear of God grips our heart, and we call out to God in repentance, and by faith we receive Christ as Lord and Savior of our life.
Amen.
Who is it who calls? Those who fear the Lord. And he hears the cry of those who fear him. And he saves them. And he saves them. Because you see, they're the ones who see God by faith. They're the ones, beloved, who see their sin and who turn from that sin to Christ by faith. Now, suppose somebody hears the word and they see their sin. But they don't care. Because you see, they have no fear of God. They will not call and God will not save. God will not save. What I'm telling you is that the fear of God, listen, is essential to salvation. Now, unfortunately, the way it works is this. A person, beloved, in the fear of God, calls out to God, and God saves them. Then, as a Christian, a new Christian, beloved, that same person is taught by other Christians not to fear God. You say, how do we teach them that, preacher? By example. See, and how many new converts come in a church, beloved? They've been saved, and they come in a church, and they know nothing. And they come in a church and hear all these Christians that have been saved for years and years. And now they're saved. And they, beloved, look at these Christians around them. And they come back Sunday night because that's what God tells them to do. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And they come back Sunday night and the crowds.
Yep. That's right.
And they say, what's happened? How can they stay away? Maybe it's okay to stay. I guess it don't matter whether I obey God or not. Whether I fear God or not. I'm preaching to the choir, ain't I? Because you're here. But I'm telling you this. And I've preached it from this pulpit, and y'all know that I have. I say it with tears in my eyes. God said, if you offend one of these little ones, and beloved, a new Christian is a little one. He's a babe in Christ. If you offend one of these little ones, it's better for you that a millstone were tied about your neck and you were cast into the sea.
That's right. Amen.
And they keep watching these Christians disobeying God, disobeying God, disobeying God. And finally they get to the point. It's no big deal if I disobey God. I don't have to fear God. And so we teach them. We teach them by example. They're told, perfect love casteth out fear. And it does, amen? But that's not talking about the fear of the Lord. That's talking about the fear of the devil, beloved. But yet they'll walk around, oh, perfect love. You don't have the fear of God. Perfect love casteth out fear. That's not talking about the fear of God. That's talking about the fear of the devil, beloved. They're told, hey, you're saved by grace, so there's no need to fear God. They're told the fear of God is Old Testament. So eventually, that new Christian loses his faith, his fear of God. And he becomes disobedient and rebellious, hard-hearted toward God, even prideful. Even prideful. Take, for example, those who say, you ever heard somebody say this? Hey, when you talk to God, you demand. You tell God, I demand, God, that you do this for me. Anybody ever heard somebody say that? I have. I demand that God do that. Boy, you know what that is? Beloved, that is blasphemy.
Amen.
That is blasphemy. They have no fear of God.
That's right.
No, listen. Beloved, God is not your servant. You are God's servant. Amen? You are God's servant. That beloved, that a person who does that has no fear of God. Folks, you don't demand anything of God. You have no right to. You're a sinner saved by grace. A sinner saved by the grace of God. And those who do that, beloved, have no fear of God. Another example. Thinking of a lady right now. This is true. Lady's been in the church for years, years, and years. Served in the church. Very religious. The last year, she's had a problem with her grown son. He's depressed. He's depressed. Now, she has prayed for him. And I don't know how long, I'll say six, 7 months. He's still depressed. The other week somebody said something to her about, she was talking about it, and they said, we are praying for him. And she said something to the effect, it won't do no good. God don't answer my prayers. You know what she did? She called God a liar. Because God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. She said, God, what she was saying is, God, you're a liar. You don't answer my prayer. Because God didn't do it the way she wants it done and when she wants it done, she calls God a liar. No fear of God. No fear of God. You need to pray for her. You need to pray for her. What happened to trusting God? What happened to believing God? God's not going to do everything you want Him to do, beloved. The way you want Him to do it. God's got His way and His time. Amen? And God knows what's best. So you trust Him. You put it in His hands and you trust Him. Amen? Where's the fear of God? It's not there. Now somebody says, preacher, I didn't get saved because I feared God. I responded to the love of God. That's why I got saved. Preacher, I saw Jesus dying for me, and because He loved me so much to do that, I received Him as my Lord and Savior. Wasn't the fear of God, preacher. Well, let's look at that for just a minute. Why did Jesus suffer like that? Why did Jesus suffer and die like that? To pay your sin debt. Amen? To pay your sin debt. Beloved, we owed a debt to God. Jesus took that debt and paid it for you on condition that you receive Him as Savior by faith. Look at Him, beloved, beaten to the point that you could not tell He was a man. Unrecognizable as a man. Look at Him, beloved, with spikes driven into His hands and His feet, pinned to a tree, suspended between heaven and earth. Look at Him, beloved, struggling to breathe as indescribable pain raced through His body. Look at Him. Look at Him separated from God, taking your separation. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at, when you look at Him on that cross, you're looking at the wrath of God for your sin. For your sin. Now either you can accept His sacrifice for your sin and receive Him as Lord and Savior, or you, beloved, can take God's wrath on yourself and spend eternity in hell. In torment. Yes, He loved you. He loved you enough to die for you, and you should acknowledge that and be grateful for that. But that suffering He took, listen to me, is your suffering if you, beloved, receive Him. And it's the fear of God, the fear of eternal wrath, of facing God with your sins unpaid, beloved, that causes you to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. It's the fear of God. The Lord's sacrifice, listen, was an act of love. But it wasn't the love, beloved. It was the act that paid your sin debt. And if you don't receive Him, beloved, you will endure that wrath that was poured out on Jesus. You'll endure it. And if you don't understand that, you're not saved. You're not saved. God loves everyone. Jesus died for everyone. But everyone isn't saved. Only those who fear God and call out to Him for salvation. Amen. To those who fear Him, He will hear their cry and save them. Turn real quick. I'm running behind. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Real quickly, verse 27, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Folks, the fear of the Lord, listen to me, will prolong your life on this earth. On this earth. How many of you want, beloved, a long life on this earth? All of us, don't we? All of us do. Well, beloved, your chances of a long life are increased if you fear God. If you fear God. There it is, right there. You read it for yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that you are guaranteed to live long. It means, beloved, that chances are you will live long. It may be that God, it's God's will for you to die young, that He might get glory from it. Am I losing you? How about Stephen? Boy, he was God's man, amen?
Amen.
He died young. But you know what? God used that to bring glory to Himself. To bring glory. How about Jesus? Jesus died 33 years old, young. But God used that for His glory. Amen?
Amen?
And it may be that you may die young, but it'll be for God's glory, beloved. But generally speaking, if you fear God, you will live longer. Does that make sense to you? Think about those who die behind the wheel of a car drunk. They didn't fear God. And they died. And they died. Think about those who die from drug abuse. They didn't fear God. And they died. Think about those, beloved, who die in gang wars. Think about those who die, beloved, from AIDS. Think about those, beloved, who die while committing crimes. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. You see, folks, sin brings death. But the wages of sin is death, the Bible says, both physical and eternal death. But righteousness brings life. And who are those who will live righteous? Those who fear God. Those who fear God. Now, then I'm going to stop right there because I've got to get this in. Somebody says, "Preacher, I see what the fear of the Lord is." We've talked about that in this study. "Preacher, I see why I should fear Him. And preacher, I see the wonderful benefits of fearing God. But how? How do I fear Him?" Turn in your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. I'll give you time to get there. Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 20. Listen very carefully. This is God speaking. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree? That it cannot pass it, though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail, though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season, who reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. You know what God is saying here? God is telling us, beloved, listen to this. You have a choice to fear God or not. It's your choice to fear God or not. God gives to every man the measure of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it's up to you to exercise that faith. If you exercise that faith, beloved, then you believe God with all your heart and all your soul. You believe everything God says. Amen? And if you do that, beloved, you will fear God. You will fear God. Forget about what men say. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. Hear God, folks. Believe God, and the fear of the Lord will enter your heart. Will enter your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.